If you're just tuning in to this episode today, I strongly recommend you listen to part one of this conversation first, as this week's picks up right from where we left off. You can find part one by going back a week. If you're tuning in today and you're already familiar with last week's episode, here's a quick recap. My guest is Dustin Young, founder of a nonprofit organization called Our Own. He is also a certified doula who assisted his sister in the delivery of his nephew. Today, we're going to hear how this incredible story concludes and what Dustin aspires other men and fathers learn from his sharing his story. Thank you for listening. Now, here's the episode. This is the Welcome to Fatherhood Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Kelly, and I'm here to remind you, however you're listening and wherever you're listening, that as dads, we're just like moms. Except we're dads. Ha ha!
Was a slave who traveled her slave master to California, and she heard, like, you know, you become free out here. So she got out here, earned her freedom, built the whole her whole wealth off of midwifery, and she ended up owning so much real estate downtown LA. She became like one of the wealthiest black women in Los Angeles. Wow. There's a huge story on it, but she built it on the wealth of midwifery and training so many different midwives out here in Los Angeles itself.
Wow.
So she's like one of like the highlights in the midwifery world.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting into it a little bit more, and then I'm working with my sister. So I had to take my brother hat off and put my doula hat on, because it's like, you have to show them support. You have to ask, like, is there anything I can help you with? Do you need this? My brother has like, yo, this is what we doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck that nigga. Like, I'm going to the hospital. You were good. You know, so I had to like figure out the difference and show her for her, man. So that was like a fun process. But that's how, like, those were the moments that actually propelled me into this work and learning more about it, hands-on experience, and getting a full hands-on experience through my sister's first birth with my nephew.
And the culmination of that story is she had a healthy baby.
Yeah. So we went through the entire 9 months. The goal was to labor at home as much as possible, because she wanted to do a hospital birth, because she was taking the doctors and stuff. They was telling her she was high risk because of the stillbirth before.
Mm.
So she was nervous. She was also just nervous on her own personal trauma. So like, she's putting that onto herself.
Sure.
And we're trying
to
like, help her like remove that thought out of her mind, because we don't want to manifest nothing negative. So let's try to be as positive as possible. Let's just do the work. Let's research. Let's eat healthy. Let's do what we need to do. Let's exercise. Let's just do the work. And the process, you know, at some point, you know, I'm still her brother. The first thought when I was going to, when I said yes to becoming a sister, I'm like, oh shit, at some point I have to like probably watch my nephew come out the vaginal canal. It's like, you know, this is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
You know, like, but, you know, I got past that moment of the awkwardness. And fast forward, she goes into labor, and she's somewhere in Riverside at the time, which is about 2 hours away from, about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from where she lives. And I'm like, what? And she told me, like, you're in labor? Like, yeah, that's my thing. You know, I'm starting to have my first contractions. I'm like, get your ass home now. Like, it's go time. Like, I got the bags packed. I'm ready. It's like, Dustin, calm down. Yeah. Like, she's so calm and poised at the time. And I'm like, you're right. It's going to take longer than that. Like, let me get my mind right. Shit. I feel like I'm about to have the damn baby. So I had to calm myself down. You know, I'm relaxing. I'm lighting my incense at the house. I'm like chilling. So she drives home. When she finally gets home, I come over there like later that that night. And now the contractions are like starting to increase. So like I brought my diffuser over there. I told my mom, like, turn all electronics off, turn the damn television off, because she's watching whatever she's watching. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no distractions. Like the goal, because we built out a whole birth plan. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what a birth plan was until like I got in. It's like, oh, you have rights and you can't do certain things in hospitals. You can't say how you want your space to look. Mm. You can't delay clamping on the umbilical cord. Like you can do all, you have these rights. You can even give your position how you want to give birth. I'm like, you want to do standing up? All right. You want to do it in a shower at this hospital? Cool. Like birth plan, let's write it down.
Wow.
So a part of the birth plan was like, we want to have a calm space. And that's also part of the work is like, how do you create this calm energy? Because you want to reduce the stress. You want to reduce the anxiety and everything that's going on mm-hmm. around this experience. So we at the house, you know, I got some Erykah Badu playing. I got lavender oils, you know, burning throughout the house. We got candles lit. You know, it's just calm. It's just a vibe in here. And I'm like, Mom, just go to sleep or something. If this is too quiet for you, go to sleep. You know, so like she's cool. She's going through the motions. Like, you know, every time she contracts, I'm like just going back to like, all right, well, because the doula, she's not there at the moment. Like I called her, let her know what's going down. She's like, okay, well, you got it. Just do ABC when she does this, check her contractions and like let me know when she's getting like a little closer. And I'm like, all right, this is a long process, bro. I'm like, it was like 12. I feel like it was like 12 hours of just massaging every time she contracts. And she's contracting, you know, you've been through the process. Contractions are coming like every other minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, yo, my hands are getting tired.
Yeah.
My lower back. And this is why like it's hard work during the laboring process to be doing like leading up to it. It's cool. It's just resources to support. It's providing. But when it comes down to the labor.
When it's go like, time, it's go time.
Yeah. You're tired. And this is why my dude is like, yeah, we have assistance because like I can't do this all by myself. It's hard.
Bad.
So like massaging her every time she contracts. So to kind of like alleviate some of the pain, you know, bouncing on the ball, having her go through this S-shaped roll to kind of like, I guess, help counter her contractions. I'm like, yo, I think based off these numbers, you know, you're 5 centimeters dilated. I feel like I'm repeating some shit off of Grey's Anatomy or something. I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, you know, your contraction is about 1 minute apart. Da 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 da. Every 90 seconds, let's go, let's go. You know, it's just fucking. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck am I right now. Like Dr. Young in the building. You know, MD. I'm out here, baby. Let's go. So she gets to a point. Like I remember one of the ladies, Kim, she mentioned like, oh, sometimes when a woman becomes nonverbal, like you're getting to that point of 8, 9, close to 10 centimeters dilated. And that's what's when like she's screaming, she's just like, whatever. So my sister got to the point where
get this baby out of me.
Yeah. And it's like, whoa, okay, I think you're closer. Cause I'm not, I wasn't trained yet to like, I'm still not fully all the way there to like stick my fingers up and figure out like how many centimeters you really did. I'm like, yo, doula, you need to get here ASAP. Cause one, I'm not doing that. I am not comfortable doing that at all. And two, I'm not trained to figure out what that, how to measure based off my fingers. So I'm like, all right. So, by the time she got there, I'm like, all right, I tag her in. So she's doing some work. About 7 a.m. is when she said she couldn't take it no more. I was like, all right, let's go. Because she wanted to avoid an epidural. She didn't want to get to the hospital and be like, you know what? Just give it to me. Mm-hmm. So she was like, look, I'm going to just duck it out as much as I can at the crib. And we're going to go. Oh, my God. Like I might just have to write a short film one day on on the driving experience. Like, I almost took us out. it was because you're not familiar with LA, man, but like at 7 a.m. where my mom stays to get to the hospital where she's at, there's one street we had to go down and it's traffic at this time. And I'm like, fuck. And there's no way to get, once you hit that block,
that's it.
It's a long stretch. You can't like hit a U-turn. You can't go over the center divider. Like you have to go down to the red light to make a left or right turn.
Oof.
And my mom is in the back just calling 911. I'm like, why are you calling up the cops for? She's like, I'm going to have them come clear this shit out. And I'm like, Mom, that's not happening. You know how long that's going to take? And she's on the phone with a dispatcher like, hey, you know, my daughter, I think she's about to give birth to the my nephew in a car. I mean, my grandson in the car. I'm like, Mom, like, and at this point, I'm hitting, like, I'm maneuvering through traffic. I'm doing some illegal shit. I'm like, Mom, like, you're low-key snitching. Like, you're going to call the cops. I'm going to get a ticket. I ain't doing the most illegal stuff ever known to man. I'm running mad red lights. I'm in the intersection, like, honking and stopping cars. Like, we got to go first. And we almost got, you know, we damn almost got hit. I'm like, Mom, like, you going to call the helicopters? They're going to look at us. Like, I'm going to look like I'm a getaway car. Yeah, like, yeah. Chill. Like, and plus, I had some gloves in the back of my pocket. I'm like, look, I could, if it gets to a point, I could deliver. I'm comfortable catching the baby in a car. I don't know why I thought I was that comfortable, but I got to a point. I'm like, yeah, because I'm very calm. I'm a very calm dude. Very chill, laid back. So, like, and that's also important, giving that energy off, because you don't want to give any type of nervous energy while she's going through the process.
Yep.
And, you know, she's in the car. I think she called me like a... did she call me a bitch ass nigga? Like, it was just like, she was calling me. I'm like, first of all, I love you. How we got here to this point. You're my sister. And I love you to the death. But I, you know, and I'm just taking, you know, she's like, because I said something. And she's like, stop fucking talking. I'm like, I felt like I was moving my lips, but I felt like that scene from Pootie Tang where dude is like, had a whole rap song. And you hear nothing but silence. I'm just like, I hope I can telepath my language to you or something where you can hear what I'm saying.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, so we get to, I get her to the hospital safely. At this point, we left the house. She was close to probably like 8 centimeters dilated, probably almost 9. We get to the hospital. I'm like, nurses, I think she's 10. Like, she's talking about, like, she feel the baby coming out. We almost delivered him in the car. Like, we need a room ASAP. And I'm just like being the voice because she's just like, you know, she's screaming. She's going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse is like, okay, we need to get you a urine sample. And I was like, no, we need to get her a room to deliver my nephew. We don't have time for your urine sample. And they did not listen at all. And they took her to the bathroom. And my sister's telling them like, look, I'm going to push out my baby in the toilet if you ask me to give a fucking urine sample. Like, and it's like, no, you're fine. You're good. Everything's okay. Like, this is normal. And I think my frustration at that time was hospitals, you know, it's a system. Like we spoke before, it's a system.
Right.
And then when you, some systems are good, some systems can be bad. And this particular system at this time, like doctors and nurses, and this is no shade to, there's a lot of great doctors and nurses
facts,
out there.
Facts.
But, and it's a lot of amazing hospital birth experience as well.
Facts.
But like this, I see why some women complain about like the hospital birth and just not being listened to and how things go wrong. And I can see how Black women are actually like dying from this process because just the lack of hearing me, seeing me as a human being first and seeing me as someone that you're helping your sister, your mother or somebody deliver a child. And I think that oftentimes gets removed because they see so many births throughout the day. And they're delivering so many babies throughout the day.
It becomes like, mechanical.
Yeah. And it's just like, you're fine. You're good. And then it goes back to like the stereotype of Black women are just stronger and they can take
more
pain.
More pain tolerance.
Like that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm like, my sister, they took her away. And I'm like talking to these two nurses, like, get her a fucking room ASAP. Like, I'm telling them, like, this is what we did at the crib. This is where we at. I'm reading down because I wrote down on my phone, like, where she's, her contractions and how far apart they are. Like, I'm reading all this stuff down. I give them a copy of the birth chart. Like, this is, I know you're not her doctor. And that was the other frustrating thing because, like, you don't the first person you're meeting with the entire time is not the person that delivers your baby.
No.
So you have strangers in this room. So they don't know you. They're not asking questions to get to know you.
Yep.
They're just going through the process.
Yep.
And by the time she got into a room, right before they actually try to get the urine sample, they're like, oh shit, it's time to go. It's like, my sister's like, yeah, you fucking, I told your ass. So, you know, they put her up in a room. They laid her down because they wanted to like check. And I'm like, look, she wants to deliver standing up. She feels like this would be a better position for gravity and just herself, and it's for her to like push less to avoid like tearing as much as possible. So they laid her down. And at the time they laid her down to like put her legs up to see, it's like, oh shit, ring of fire. You know, you start hearing these buzz where it's like, oh, crowning, and it's time to go. And it's like, you know, motherfuckers, y'all did not listen to nothing we said.
Wow.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
So she, they was like, okay, we need you to start pushing. So it just happened so quick, so fast. She pushed once, the head comes out, and I'm like standing behind a nurse, and I put my gloves on. The nurse told me, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm about to catch the baby. Like, she was like, get from away or from around here. It's like, all right, whatever. I'm standing right here. And my mom, even though she delivered four babies, my mom gets disgusted with, like, she can't see all that. She gets nauseous. I'm like, I don't understand that. But granted, you never saw none of this because you was the one pushing us out. Yeah. So she's over there like, you got it. I'm going to sit on this couch and drink this water. So I watched the head come out. And during this time, I guess this is when the emotions kick in. You know, you watch these movies or these shows, and you see fathers like crying, or people in the room like this crying uncontrollably.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, I'm seeing the process from seed, from sperm, from seed to formulation, first, second trimester, third, we're going into the fourth. And you see the process and you see this head come out. And then she does another push, then like some shoulders and everything come out, the third or fourth push. My entire nephew comes out. I'm like, fuck.
Wow.
Like, God. And I'm just like, inside, I'm like, what the fuck is going on with me? Keep cool, Dustin. Like, stay cool. Ice cold. I'm just like, aiming myself in the head. Like, stay cool, man. And like, tears just start coming down. I'm like, man, this is fucking beautiful.
Why am I crying? God. Damn.
Like, God damn it, man. And then, like, a couple seconds later, then the first cry comes. Like, oh, my God, this is fucking awesome. And then, you know, they put the baby on my sister's chest to get that first skin connection real quick.
Yeah.
And they ignored my delayed clamping. And I was hot. I was tight. I was so adamant because I'm like, the placenta is my thing, man. Like, this is something I want to learn so much more about. And I'm like, the umbilical cord and placenta, like delay the clamping as long as you possibly can. I forget the time you can, but as soon as the baby came out, they put the clamp on it so quick. I'm like, whoa, unclamp. And like, we got time. Hold on. It's like, oh, we can't. I'm like, you fucking, I was just hot, man. It was just,
wow.
The birth experience like was good because my nephew was safe and everything was fine. But we was more so annoyed because she wasn't listened to. They didn't go through the process that we wanted. A lot of doctors and nurses, they don't like doulas in the room because they feel like, you guys didn't go to medical school. You guys don't know what we're doing. You don't have the educational background to really be here to say anything. And it's like, well, you know, if we want to go down a history lane, you know, before Western medicine and approaches were evolved, like, a lot of things came from us doing home births. Like, how do we all got here to this day before hospitals? And it's like, you know, the education and knowledge is there. This is all about the experience you take. If more and more births, the more and more experience you get. And yeah, it was, you know, it was just that.
That's one crazy story.
Sorry that was long.
No, dude, listen, because there's so many parts of that I want to ask follow-up questions about, okay. Right? You were there for your sister, which is amazing that you were there. I mean, I have like 100 questions I want to ask you right now, bro.
Go ahead, man.
Trying to pick one. You were there for your sister. I know part of the article that I read on you is that your work as a doula, part of what you want to do is to not just bring awareness to the fact that men can be in this position also, but to use your experience with your sister to galvanize other men to be involved in the process and support their partners, their spouse, because of what you went through. I mean, had you remove yourself from that equation, and your sister would have just been.
Yeah. Alone.
Alone. Was her partner involved in any way, shape or form at the hospital or during those moments?
No. So he came literally after everything was over.
So had you not been there, I mean, she literally would have just gone through all of this by herself.
Yeah, like probably my mom, because she lived with my mom, so my mom would have drove her there.
Yeah, but your mom was sitting on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. My mom was like wasn't trying to be present at all. And, you know, she don't know much about, like, it was some things I was teaching her about her own body. So, like, yeah, she wasn't trying to be there. So, yeah, she would have been alone, going through that process alone, talking to the nurses herself. And that's the thing. Women they're going through a lot during this time. The last thing they need to do is to really speak up for themselves at this moment. Not speak up for themselves, but like they don't need to really be having all the conversations.
Right.
During this time.
Right.
It's like someone needs to kind of like be there that knows what's going on, knows her body, knows everything, that they can speak for them so they can spend more time enjoying this amazing experience and putting all their energy and focus into the birthing process.
So picture that you're talking to me now, and I just confess to you, bro, I don't know how I feel about all of this stuff. When my wife is ready to go, I think I'm just going to fall back and just have my mother-in-law, have a friend go with her as opposed to me, the father of this child, going. How would you talk to someone to whether they're, you know, in this scenario that I just painted or just a general, like, what would you tell guys, men, whose wives, partners, girlfriends, fiancés, whatever, are planning on going through this thing, and they're just very hesitant about being there, or you even mentioned having a birthing plan. Bro, I had no idea, you know, as a guy, that I needed to have a plan on my own. So speak to that a little bit, to sort of talk to guys about the importance of fathers being present when their children are being born.
I would say, because after my sister's birth, I helped one of my homeboys as well. And I think I would say to you, like I said to him, is one, creating that relationship and that rapport, and just asking the question, like, what do you want out of this experience? How amazing do you want this birthing experience to be for all parties involved? And then also reminding him that you are a part of this process. You know, you help create this amazing human being that's coming out, and you're going to be there, and you need to, you're going to be there from now to like for the rest of the kid's life and the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that bonding experience, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And also understand that your woman is going through a lot of changes internally with her body. To show up and to support and to kind of be there brings down the anxiety, brings down the stress, brings down the frustration.
Mm.
And that allows not only for you to still have a healthy bond and relationship with your spouse, you know, it makes a connection stronger. And just understand this is about to be a new world for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to go through it by herself and be like, oh man, she got it. Like, she's strong. That's my girl. Like, you're pushing yourself out the process. You're pushing yourself out the relationship, and you're pushing yourself out of everything. And at some point, it's going to be like, it's going to be rough. And I was just, honestly, I was just having those conversations, like something like that. And it's like, do you want the best birthing experience for not only your spouse, your woman, or whoever, for your baby, but for yourself as well? And in order to do that, these are the things that needs to occur to make all parties involved aware and conscious enough, and just to make sure, ensure that this experience is like great. So it's just humbling the men, you know, creating this safe space for them to be vulnerable and share, like, look, man, I'm just nervous as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm gonna make this shit worse by even entering into this world and mm-hmm. try to support mm-hmm. by touching her and doing it the wrong way, not knowing what to do. And just giving them the confidence more so to like, look, there's no blueprint fully. How did every birthing experience is different. Everybody's mm-hmm. different. Everybody responds to things different. But just be open ears. Be open to the process. Be open to what she's saying. And just be open to this learning and the knowledge. And this is what I'm here for. Like, let's just talk this through. And let's go through this process together as men to like build a confidence for yourself. Mm-hmm. And we can learn together for this particular birthing experience. Because like I said before, like not every experience is the same. You know, like, yes, I've supported 3 births already, but each one was different. And each one, I had to go to notes. I had to go to like some readings. I had to go to a lot of things to kind of figure out how to support this particular mm-hmm. situation and how to help my, the males that was involved mm-hmm. to show up more for that woman. And I think that was like important. Like I see the difference. You see the connection, the bonds for the man that couple of men that I helped mm-hmm. actually be more present now than ever. And yeah.
So I just heard you and I say to you, all right, bro, you make a compelling case. Help me think about how to begin to create a plan in a practical way. Like what are some things that I need to, that you think are important for me to think about in order to start putting together this plan? Like, I know you said, yeah. What do you want out of it? Well, I don't know. I'm a first time dad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it starts with education. I think everything I do again, even with this, our own forms around this education first. Mm-hmm. So I would break down, and the most simplest forms, each trimester. So like, this is what the woman's going through the first trimester. Mm-hmm. And these are the boom, boom, boom ways to kind of show up during this process. Mm-hmm. Second trimester, this is when the baby's starting to like get bigger and more things are going through the body of the woman. And this is how you could support and show up here mm-hmm. and kind of give tasks. Let's role play. Let's go through the process. Because I think everybody learns different. And I feel like as men, especially like the young men that I work with mm-hmm. in the past, it's like they needed more hands-on experience. They needed more steps to kind of like, all right, here's some tasks sure. to complete to get to this level.
Okay.
And with, because you just can't just throw a book and like, yo, here you go, big dog, you got it.
Yeah, dog, I ain't reading it.
Like, like, yo, I'm not about to read this book.
Nah.
Understand it enough to support.
Yeah, nah.
It's like, I think it's first trimester and just simplify the first trimester as much as possible. Like, boom, see his egg. This is what's formulating. Her body's going to go through these changes. She's going to start throwing up or whatever case is, morning sickness. This is how you can support. This is mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. to love on. Even if it's just compliments, man, like, and still showing her that she's beautiful and make her mm-hmm. feel good because mm-hmm. mentally, she's going to start going through some body changes and mm-hmm. she's going to start thinking she's not as beautiful. Mm-hmm. And if you're not around as much, if you're not present, if you're hanging out with the guys or the fellas, you know, and she's going to probably think things in her head like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, like,
it's because I'm getting fat. Me, he doesn't want to be with me no more. My ankle's getting swollen. He don't like my ankles no more.
Like, I got cankles, man. Yeah. Like, I never had cankles, man. Like, it's a thing. So, you know, it's like, how do you still be there
yeah.
while learning through this, but also still do what you've been doing prior to that, what made you want to be with her and why you love her. And
that's key right there.
Just give her like that love and attention and affection still.
Yeah.
And make sure it's genuine. Like, don't just do it because you think that's what she needs. Like, nah, continue what you've been giving her till you got to this point.
And would you say also don't get frustrated even if she doesn't receive it as you intended? Because I would tell my wife, babe, you're still beautiful. You're still this. And she's like, I feel like a cow. You know what I mean? So I can see that being frustrating to a guy who's like, trying.
Live in your emotions, man. Like, we're still human.
Okay.
If you're frustrated, don't give it to her. Yeah. No, please don't do that. But like, call
you
one
ain't
of your
no cow, you a hippo. What? Right. No, son. No.
That's not what I mean. Oh, God damn it. Nah, man. Call your homeboy, brother, your dad, somebody that you can just vent to, like, man, shit, man. Like, what the fuck am I doing? I told her these things I love her. Like, cause we still need to get this shit out. Cause we bottled our emotions in.
Yeah.
It's, we're going to want to escape more. We're not going to want to be around this energy as much. So we still need to get that emotion out.
Yeah.
And so once we have that out, I was like, all right, whew, I'm good. Like, it's all right, babe. You're not a cow. My God.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep telling you that.
Yeah.
Your beautiful, fine self. You, God damn, you look good. And she could deny it as much as she wants to, but like, you could still, as long as you're releasing your emotion, you can still show up and give her the attention, love, and affection she needs.
Facts.
And she's going to get to points like, you know what? He just kept loving on me. Even when I call him an ancient ass nigga. You know, it's your motherfucking fault that I'm in this fucked up and got cankles. It is your fault. And, you know, through all that process, like, he still loved on me. You know what? This man made my experience so great.
Yeah.
Like it's going to come, always comes back to that. You know, I've seen it with other people. I've seen it with family members, you know, and I, because the crazy thing is, like, a lot of all my homeboys, one thing I love about my circle, even though that we have different opinions on a lot of things, they're all fathers. They all show up. They all are present. And it's one thing that we always had like a conversation when we were younger, like, because some of us didn't grow up with our fathers or whatever. We all like made a pact. Like, it was like one of those, like, just sitting in a garage. We out of like smoking or drinking or something at the time. And it's like, look, we don't fuck with any shit ass dudes, man. So like, if any of us ever like is pregnant, like, if you're not present, like, you got to catch these hands, bro. Like,
that's
how we would talk to each other back then. It's like, yo, you going to get these hands if you're not present. Like, I don't care how fucked up you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And some wild shit you're doing, like, you have to be present.
Yeah.
And we still going to check you on the other shit you're doing, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But the kids, the kids don't need to experience that lack of affection.
Man.
And that bond starts before the baby's born.
Facts.
And I think those conversations I had with my boys when we was young, and this was just us just shooting the shit based off our personal experience and just like, yo, fam, like, yeah, man, like, you know, whenever I have kids, you know, I'm just going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what, you know, if she fucks with me or not, if this, whatever, I'm just going to be there for my child. Yeah. I think that's just developed the conversation around bonding. And I think during this process, even like how to show up to support men, now it's like, how do you bond with the child before the child is here?
Yeah.
And that's rubbing on the belly, listening, like
talking
being
to him
there, like, you know, being connected to her. Like, these are energy flows. Like, if you could like put a, I don't know, infrared, whatever this, x-ray, whatever, to see energy frequencies and wavelength flowing, connection with touch and all these things, like, it's common to cuddle. It's common to just be around, and the baby feels that energy and love at the same time. Like, it's something that's, it's hard to probably break down and explain on layman's terms, you know, but just the touch, just the connection, just to be there, like, it for sure does a lot.
Man, one of the coolest stories about my, when my wife gave birth, she gave birth via C-section. And so when nurses, doctors took the baby out, nurses took him away, and he's crying. I'm by my wife and I'm telling her how beautiful she is. Then I get called away, baby's crying. And, you know, so I start talking to my son. But when my wife was pregnant, I would talk to him while he was in the belly. Hey, buddy, this is daddy. You know, I'm telling him all sorts of nonsense that was going on during the pandemic and this and that. When Kobe died, I was like, yo, man, Kobe died, son. I'm going to tell you who Kobe is. You know, like I'm doing all of that stuff. So he's crying and I would always sing to him. So I just hover over him and I say, hey, buddy, it's okay. It's daddy. Yeah. Bro, he stopped crying and just moved his little head, like trying to angle his ear to locate where that voice was coming from. And I'm watching it, Dustin, and I'm like, he recognizes my voice. He recognizes my voice. And then I give him my finger. Son, like that, I will never forget that, man. I mean, I didn't cry when my son was born, but that moment right there, I've never felt something more intimate. I mean, he recognized my voice. He stopped crying. He held onto my finger. I started singing to him, and he was chilling the rest of the time. He was cold. He was butt-ass naked, but he was chilling because he felt, okay, I'm not alone in this room, and I'm hearing all of these different sounds. I recognize that one voice, though, and I'm holding onto his finger. So, okay, I'm not by myself. He's right here. I don't even know who this person is, but he right here, you know? Absolutely. Dude, man, that was so cool, bro.
Just that story in itself, man, I think there's been an emergence of, I guess, more fathers speaking out about their experience, which is dope, because I've just been seeing like a lot online. I feel like we just need to share more. I think we need to share more because I'm not a father yet. But even the times like I would hold my nephew and because he recognizes my scent. My voice. You know, and it's like the conversations that that we have. I talk to him. He's like, he's only one now. But I look at him like, I talk to him like he's like 10.
Yeah, me too. That's how I talk to my son.
I was like, we have a full conversation. He just looks at me, respond like, I
my,
guess.
My son actually responds. My son just be like, and I'm like, exactly.
But it's like, it's that connection, man. Like, and I think if that spread, because, you know, we're connected to the internet and stuff now, and we see shows and all that stuff. If there's more shows, like, I just recently saw, I don't know if you watched it, that Oprah special with an old boy from This Is Us. I think his name is Sterling something.
Is it a new one?
It just came out, I think, on Father's Day.
No, I haven't seen that yet then.
They did a series where they reached out to some celebrity dads and some like everyday dads, and they had this conversation about the experience. And you know, it was just huge. Like, everybody's talking about how they showed up, how they did this, and how they support. How one, I think, the dude, he lost his wife at birth, and I think twins came. So he's been taking care and raising twins by himself. And his wife died at birth because all the stuff that just went wrong. And it was powerful, man. It's good to share, like, men that, or to listen to and hear men that just like share their experience. Like, even you sharing your stories is like, I think this is what we need more of. In addition to a lot of other things, but like us sharing our experience, I think inspires others to do it as well.
Others, for sure.
Like, well, fuck, I want that same experience. Let me show up and be a support. Like, you know, we don't necessarily need men to become certified doulas. They just, because the information is there. It's just like, how do you show up? How do you support? How do you have confidence enough to just be there through the entire process? You don't need to take on this work and just deliver 20,000 babies or support 20,000 deliveries. Nah, it's just like, how can I show up the best I can for my situation and have the best experience possible and develop the best bond and just grow with that. Yeah. Because once you have a solid, strong family, and this is something my grandfather always used to tell me, like, family dynamics and strong family bonds is what is the foundation of our growth as a people. Like, we need us together and this extended family. Like, I learned that even in childhood development class in college, it's like they talk about the importance of the grandparent, the parents, and the kids, and how these generations all being one to support helps the child. And that child grows up and becomes the grandparent and pours back into the great grandbaby. And this is like that cycle. And we lost that over time.
Yeah.
We lost that dynamic. It's so small now. So this is hopefully getting back to that. And we're trying to develop that with my internal family now, like my immediate family, is creating that energy again. Like, I have three nephews and one niece. We take family trips. Like, we trying to like just create that for us and get that back, because like, I seen the importance of it. You know, I might be that one grandpa at some point. You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, you motherfuckers, god damn it, I love y'all, you ain't shit sometimes, but I love you. Let me tell you how back in the day, you know, I had this conversation. You know, I was on a podcast, brother. Yeah, I was podcasting.
All right, I know I've taken up a lot of your time already, bro, but this is such a rich conversation, man. There's one more thing I want to ask you. And then we can just, you know, sadly, let it go. But going back to your experience with your sister, what was striking to me was that you got there, you were telling the nurses, this is what we've done. This is what I've done. This is what's been happening. So you're not just getting there and they're asking you questions and you're like, mom, did you, like, you had your information, you were speaking facts because you were in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Time after time after time, you also repeated, they just weren't listening to us. Yeah. They weren't listening to you.
Yeah.
So talk to the dad who is, he's taking the dad who got convinced by your compelling argument of why he needs to be there, the dad who has gone on to make a birthing plan, the dad who is there at the crib with, you know, wifey or old girl, and now they're at the hospital and he is trying to be involved, present, hands-on. Yet he gets the same treatment that you got as your sister's doula and brother. What do you say to that, dad?
It's tough, man, because I would say, like, man, nah, man, just turn this motherfucker upside. It's honestly, it's just assert yourself in a manner that's still respectful to the staff there, because you still want them to provide the best care and you want them to do it out of love and not out of anger and frustration, because something could still go wrong. And if they're feeling like, if the nurses are feeling tense, they're going to bring that same energy to the birthing experience. And then your wife is going to feel it as well, or the spouse or whoever's delivering. I would just say, still assert yourself in a way that I feel like I probably could have been more assertive, and stopped everything. Not insisting like, yo, stop the process. It's like, hey, everybody, all right, this is Alexis Pitts. This is my sister. She's going through this amazing experience. We all are family. Let's do this together. This is what she would like. Because, like, you know, I was just it was just going so fast. I probably could have gave more. I did still give a lot, but I probably could have gave more. And it's like, I think in the process of going into the room and before we got to that point, it's just like, look, here we are, human beings, people. This is Alexis. You never met her before. She's an amazing woman. I'm Dustin. I'm her brother. I'm her assistant doula as well. This is her doula, Crystal. This is my mother. We're all a family. We love you guys. You guys love us. Mm-hmm. Let's have this amazing experience. This is what she would like. Mm-hmm. Let's honor her. Let's honor her experience, and let's honor what she would like to have the best experience possible. If things shift, we're open to the shift, mm-hmm. but let's start with what she wants first. Mm-hmm. Do we have a grievance? Are we good, everybody? Like, and yes, you know, that could be a good approach still. And it could still be like curve, like, shut the fuck up. Like, we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, honestly, it's just, you're in the moment. I think if you're preparing yourself for 9 months leading up to that, you're going to know what to do and say that's going to be in the best interest of the woman who's delivering the baby. And it's this, it's preparation. Preparation helps prevention. And if you're in a position to where you're learning and you're spending the time for 9 months, you're talking to all the doctors and nurses that's going to be present. Hopefully you have the same nurse and doctor delivering your baby to where like you have that bond. But if not, if things shift like how it did with me, just assert yourself more. Demand your presence in the room and become that voice for her in a way that is still respectful, that makes everybody's, make sure and ensures everybody's on the same page to have the best experience.
Man, listen, dude, I've been so enriched by this conversation.
I appreciate you, brother. Same.
I've learned so much. It's put a lot of things in focus based on my previous experience. And for sure, if me and my wife have another child, the approach is going to be 100% different from the lack of approach that I had going into my first child. Man, thank you so much, bro. I really don't know what else to say, but thank you, homie. Like, for real, for real. Is there anything final that you feel like you would like to share? Is there anything final that you feel like you would like to share?
I would just say, man, just tap in and do research for all the brothers out there. Like, try not to normalize extraordinary things. Childbirth is an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. It's something that is still hard to do. Like we mentioned before, like that one sperm that gets to egg, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hit all the time. Mm-mm. You know, so like when it actually hits and this happens, like this is something that is an amazing opportunity and it's going to be a dope experience. So like just fall into that, fall in love with that experience, connect to like your spouse, your woman, or whoever you're supporting. Again, just do the research and educate yourself as much as possible. Reach out to sources. Like, you know, Google is free, man. And it's like, there are things that's out there. You know, I'm available. You know, reach me at our own OUROWN on Instagram. Just shoot me an email. You know, I could do whatever I can to support. Like, I'm just here. If it's just a voice, if it's the groups that you have that you host, should reach out to yourself, man. Like, we're building a community, and it's a strong, solid community. And like, you know, we're men. You know, we're men, man, too. So
yeah,
like it's good. Like we're straight. You know, we like just reach out, man. Like I think it's having a community makes it easier too. Like having a brotherhood of and like-minded individuals kind of helps the process. So I would say that. And for me, you know, this is also weird. Like I still love the placenta and it is still something that blows my fucking mind. Find that one thing that blows your mind and makes you just want to tap in more, man. Cause honestly, I might go get certified in placenta encapsulation.
Oh,
you know,
bet.
Right. Yeah, it's a whole nother thing. I don't even know why I want to encapsulate the placenta. I hear it's good for you, for mothers to take.
I've heard that too.
You know, but I just want to learn more about the placenta. Like, I think it's crazy that a whole fucking organ is developed in a woman's body, and it's the only organ that grows and releases after birth from the woman's body. And it creates oxygen flow, the food supply, and it also just blocks the blood that the mother's blood and cells that can mix with the woman, I mean, with the child. It acts as a shield. So those blood and cells, like her cells and blood, does not mix with the baby, because I guess those cells will come in and identify the baby as an identified foreign object within a body, and it'll attack it as this is a threat and essentially kill the baby. Mm. You know, so like that placenta that grows protects as a shield, and it's fucking like crazy, man. Like, like the body that was going on internally over 9 months in the woman's body is fucking beautiful. So like, I think fall in love with the joy of the experience. You know, we are part of this process. You know, yes, like we're here because of the woman gives birth to us, but like we're part of the creation process as well. Mm-hmm. So just be a part, honestly, just be a part of the process, understand your worth within the process, and, you know, find that outlet to release your frustrations, man. You know, don't take it out on a woman.
Amen to that.
Don't call her a hippo, man.
Yeah, don't. Please.
Like, yeah, yeah, you are looking a little hippo-ish today. God damn it. Damn, don't know.
Nah, no. 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 Like, not, yo, bro, why you doing? What you doing here, man? Your girl pregnant? She is. I can't. I'm not allowed in the house anymore. You called her hippo, didn't you? Yeah, son. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Bro. Man, mad love, mad respect for you, for the work that you're doing. Again, thank you so much for lending me an hour and a half of your time to be able to have this great conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, brother.
Thanks for reaching out, too, man.
Hey,
listen. I needed it. You probably needed it. I needed it.
Yeah.